I have a question for you this morning. Do you really love God? We're going to think about that as we go through this message. You know, I think back to my time when I was in school, when I was never thrilled with taking tests. And my age now, the only tests I have to take, I don't have to study for, you know, like blood pressure tests, EKG, stress tests, whatever. You don't have to study for those. So I'm all right with them up to a point. But I remember back in high school, I had this one particular teacher, and he taught history. And I wasn't a real fan of history class, even though now I love history. If I only had one channel on my TV set, I want it to be the history channel. But I remember this particular teacher, and he just loved to give tests. Now, he didn't give just the six-month review tests and the chapter review tests. He just, it seemed like to me, he gave tests every week. At least that's the way I remember it. And I remember this one time he gave a really hard test. And it was a review of everything we'd done up to that point in the year. And for you younger people, contrary to what you say, I didn't take tests with a quill pen and an old ink bottle either. But after the test, he told us to keep our tests. We were going to grade our own tests. And he went down the list of answers with us, and we graded our own tests. And I remember very distinctly, I flunked. And I was thinking, oh, man, I'm going to get grounded now. But then he did something remarkable. He says, I'm not recording these tests. He said, this test was for your good, for your benefit, and not for mine. See, he gave us that test so we know where we were lacking, getting ready for our big end-of-the-year test. Things for us to review, to look over. And you know, at times, God does the same thing for us. In fact, all the way through your Bible, you'll find where people were tested. God presented Abraham and Sarah with a wonderful gift. In their old age, they were given a son, Isaac. But later, God tested Abraham. He said, take Isaac up in the woods and sacrifice him. You see, God knew Abraham. The test was for Abraham's benefit. So Abraham would realize how deep his love was for God. There was another big test, and that involved Jonah. He told Jonah to go to Nineveh. Well, Jonah turns and runs the other way. And it wasn't until God called him back with a storm and being swallowed by a great fish that Jonah passed his test. See, God knew Jonah's heart, and the test was for Jonah. God tested Philip the day of that they fed the multitudes. He tested Peter on the seashore when he asked him, do you love me, Simon? Do you really love me? That test was for Peter. Now, how about you today? Do you really love God? How would you answer? I think most of us here today would just say right off, yeah, I love God. I love God more than you can imagine. But I wonder, have you been tested? Do you really, truly know how much you love God? We're going to look at a couple of scriptures this morning. The first one I want to look at is 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? See, Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, and they've been having some problems. They claim to love God, but they don't seem to get along. They have contentions, as the Bible says. And Paul says, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Do you remember reading that verse before? Or is it one of those verses that you just gloss over? You read it and go on and don't really think about the meaning, the message that Paul's trying to get to us. Paul says, examine yourself. Give yourself a test. Are you in the faith? If you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and your life is an example of how Christ is working in you, then yes, you have passed a test. But if the way you speak and the way you act reveal something different, then no matter how many times you say you love Christ, your actions show different. And you flunked a test. And I don't want to fail that test. My history test, I could flunk and I could get over that. But this one has consequences clear through the end of time. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And if that's not bad enough, we'll continue through 22 and 23. And it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. See, this really bothers me. Because there's those of us that feel like we've accepted Christ and we're saved. There's no changes in our lives. But come that day, the day of judgment, God's going to say, I don't know you. Now God knows everybody. He knows all of us, whether we're saved or not. But in the language, in the time, knew meant a relationship. To know you meant have a relationship with you. What he's saying is, you know my name. You claim to be one of mine. But there was no relationship. There was no closeness. So I didn't know you. So what must I do? How do I have this relationship? How do I draw close to God? I sure don't want to hear that word, depart from me. I never knew you. In Isaiah 35:8, it says, a highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall never pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks a road, although a fool, shall not go astray. See, God has provided a way even for a fool like me, an uneducated man, a weak man. I've admitted many times before, I can't do anything on my own. And that's what it came to me realizing. It's through the strength of Christ and not my own that I can follow Him. I tried many times and I failed many times. But I do know this, I want to draw closer to Christ. It says we must believe in Christ Jesus. Do you believe in Him? Then you're in the faith, right? Well, just believing in Christ doesn't put you in the faith. It says in the Bible that even the demons believe that and shudder. Well, they believe, and they know where they're going. They're condemned. So, there's more to faith than simply believing in Jesus. And that's what the point that Paul is making when he writes about Jesus living in us, and he's a spirit affecting the way we think, speak, and act. Now, Ethel Rose, I know some of you didn't know her. She was a dear lady. And she told me many times, she says, Mike, you've gone from preaching, you've gone to meddling. She said, I don't like my toes stepped on. And she said that in a laughing manner because she enjoyed it when I stepped on her toes. And I think I'm going to meddling here today because I want to say today, we don't think much of what, we don't think too often about when we're called to serve Christ. We think we're called to sit in a pew and listen to a word and then go home for Sunday lunch. But I want to tell you, there are people, when they accept Christ as Lord and Savior, they were dishonest before they accepted Christ, and they're dishonest after they accepted Christ. They were immoral before they accepted Christ, and they were immoral after they accepted Christ. They were greedy before, and they were greedy after. What I'm trying to say is, after you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there should be a change in your lifestyle, something that people can see, not just your words to hear, that I have accepted Christ. I guess I want to suggest, if your life has not changed and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've said a few words, maybe in front of a congregation or to someone that prayed with you, but unless there's a change in your lifestyle, you haven't accepted Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that works will get you to heaven. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there'll be a change, and your work will prove that out. I will confess Him with my lips. I will confess Him with my work. I will confess Him with my lifestyle. And everything I do is going to be a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you comfortable enough in your workplace to say, I am a Christian? Can you stand out? There's one of the places I fell short when I first became a Christian. I was one of them undercover Christians, you know. Nobody knew it. I was like a secret agent. The Bible teaches us if we have that living, dynamic relationship, we'll be obedient to His commands. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. 1 John 5:3 said, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For instance, baptism. Because He has commanded it, that we be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, there's no need to decide whether baptism is essential or not. All we have to decide is whether we're going to be obedient. Our obedience to God will take care of the subject of baptism. See, baptism is only a simple ritual. A pool of water, a few words, and a person gets wet. But it's what behinds it makes it extremely valuable, whether you're willing to follow the commands of God, the command of Jesus, the cross, and an empty tomb. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He arose victorious over death, and that's something we never, ever want to forget. Paul wrote in Romans 6, in baptism, we die with Him, are buried with Him, and are raised with Him to walk in a new life. See, we're getting back to the basics here today. But sometimes we have to. Sometimes we have to remember the first days when we accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. Sometimes we get sloppy in our lifestyle. We drift away a little bit, little by little, and we don't notice until it's almost too late. We notice that Man, we're far away from God. How did I get over here? I want to remind you that you can't go far enough that he can't reach out and pull you back. He loves you that much. His arms are long and his grip is strong. His arms are strong. Do you recognize the body of Christ? I have a second scripture for you. It's from 1 Corinthians 11:31. It's a passage that we don't read a lot, maybe at communions. It says, "For if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged." Those are heavy words. You see, that final exam is coming. Paul says, if you have passed all the pop quizzes, if you answered the questions correctly, and when the final exam day comes, you don't have to worry about the judgment, because all along you have been judging yourself. What I'm trying to say, just like the teacher that gave us tests weekly, test yourself daily. Look at what you're doing. Judge yourselves. Every day, start your day out with prayer to draw close to God. I told you in my life, I'm not strong enough to do it on my own. I have to start every day with prayer. Did you do something wrong today? Yesterday, the day before? Look to God. Correct it. Don't make that same mistake tomorrow. Then on the day of judgment, you can stand up and say, I've tried. You see, we're never going to reach perfection here on this earth. You might as well forget that. It's not going to happen. We can never be perfect. But one thing we can do is get better every day. And I guarantee, as I'm standing right here, and backed by the Word of God, the more you do it, the easier it gets. If you start every day with prayer, it will become a habit. If you ask God before you do things, before you make big decisions or little decisions, it will become a lifestyle. It will be the way that you live your life. It will be easier to live that lifestyle where people can see that, yes, that man's a Christian. It's not just in words, but it's in deeds. You'll be drawn in to a fellowship. You'll embrace the love of your brothers and your sisters. It won't be anymore just coming and sitting in church on Sunday morning. Or, man, do I have to go back out Wednesday? It'll be, I'm looking forward to Wednesdays. I'm looking forward to the kids at Awana. I'm excited about my Sunday school class. You can improve every day. You can get better. I remember Preston has told us that he would like to know, or he would like to relive what it was like to be a new Christian, with wonder of what God's going to do every day. And I've thought about that. But you know what? Even as older Christians, we can have that wonder about what God's going to do in our life today. I know in my life, God does something every day. I may not have that wide-eyed wonder that I once had, but I can have that anticipation on what he's going to do, who he's going to bring across my path. And it's always undeserved, the love that he gives me and the word that he gives me. It's not me, it's him. So what I wanted to share today is test yourselves. Look at yourselves daily and judge yourselves. Every day it'll become easier. The reward is great. That's the loving arm of God. We could all please stand. Heavenly Father, until I come to join you, I'll never understand the depth of your love. I'll never understand why you cared so much about me that you would draw me in, that you would save me from separation, from the pits of hell. But Father, I do know that you love us. I do know that you want the best for us. You want a relationship, Father. You want that closeness that you would be able to guide us every day of our lives and not just turn to you in our times of trouble. Celebrate with you, cry with you, embrace you. Father, I thank you so much that you're there. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, you're unsure. Maybe you do question yourselves. The deacons will be glad to speak with you. I'll be glad to speak with you as we go into this time. Just spend some time with God.